It showed up in his disposition, Winters said. He was becoming more sour and sadistic. It was reaching the point that it was unbearable. Sergeant Earl Hale recalled that there was a lottery going on about whoever gets Sobel. Sobel had picked up an Air Force sheepskin jacket, of which he was proud and which he wore in the field, making him highly conspicuous. Tipper remembered that when the company was going through a combat range with live ammunition fired at pop-up targets, Sobel experienced some near misses. More than one shot was aimed from the rear and side to crack by close to Sobel's head. He'd flop down, kind of bounce around and shout something, and jump up again. There was much laughing and gesturing from the men. I can't believe that Sobel thought what was happening was accidental, but maybe he did. Anyway, he kept jumping up and down and running around as if everything were normal. The men continued to play tricks on Sobel. Private George Lutz could imitate voices. One night, E Company was leading the battalion on a cross-country march. The barbed wire fences kept slowing the progress. Sobel was in front. "Captain Sobel," a voice called out. "What's the holdup?" "The barbed wire," Sobel replied, thinking he was addressing Major Oliver Horton, the battalion executive officer. "Cut those fences," Lutz called out, continuing to imitate Horton's voice. "Yes, sir," Sobel replied, and he ordered wire cutters to the front. The next morning, a contingent of Wiltshire farmers confronted Colonel Strayer. They complained mightily about the cut fences. Their cows were wandering all over the landscape. Strayer called in Sobel. "Why did you cut those fences?"
"I was ordered to cut them, sir."
"By whom?"
"Major Horton."
"Can't be. Horton's on leave in London."
Sobel caught hell, but he was never able to learn who had fooled him and was therefore unable to retaliate. It was his jumping around, his hi-ho silver nonsense, his bull-in-the-china-shop approach to tactical problems that bothered the officers, NCOs, and enlisted men of the company more than his chicken shit. Dissatisfaction grew daily, especially with the NCOs. Sergeant Myron Mike Ranney, a 21-year-old from North Dakota of 1st Platoon, and Salty Harris of 3rd Platoon, led the mumble-mumble of the potential disaster of Sobel leading the company into combat. The NCOs were fully aware that they were confronted by a delicate and extremely dangerous situation. To act would open them to charges of insubordination or mutiny in time of war. To fail to act could get the whole company killed.